Morning, everyone. How you doing? Oh, that was weak. Come on, I'm going to need more enthusiasm than that. It's been a while since I've really done this, so I'm going to need your help. Let's try this again. Good morning. Okay, I feel better now. I am a little rusty. I used to do this all the time. I don't do it as regularly anymore, so I feel really out of my groove. But here's the good news. Did you realize these mornings, they're not about production? Like, the sound system can be whacked out. The production, we can have something totally go wrong. That's not what this morning is about. Those are just like added bonuses when things go right with the music and all that. It's really about our position, our own heart. And I think that's the cool thing. So this morning, we're going to get into really the heart of Jesus. What does he call us to? You know, we're in this series where we're looking at the parables. And Alex has said, you know, what parable, Mickey, do you want to teach? And man, I know I look at my own life and I'm not where I want to be. I don't think I've ever once looked at my life and where I am in Christ and my faith and my career and really anything and be like, dude, I've arrived. I haven't arrived. Dude, I'm a mess. And I think if we all stop a moment, most of us are like, yeah, I'm pretty messed up, man. There's stuff I'm not getting right. So as I sit up here this morning, I'm not sitting talking to you saying, come follow me, come to where I am. That'd be wrong, man. That's not it. So now that you, for good or ill, I guess, get to hear me on a regular basis, here's the invitation. Join me on a journey. I'm not looking for people to follow me because here's the bottom line. I'm going to fall. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to screw up. And if you're following me, likelihood is when I fall, you're going to trip over me. That's not going to do you any good, and it's not going to do me any good. So the invitation when we go through this is knowing that, man, I'm struggling through this stuff. As I was preparing for this message, God was just continuously enlightening me of how far I still have to go in him. So join me on the journey, side by side. We'll hold hands, we'll skip along, whatever the case is. And when I fall, you can pick me up and we'll keep moving. And when you fall, I'll lean over, we'll pick you up, we'll keep moving. So that's the invitation. Fair enough? Yeah. Cool. Right on. So a few months ago, I was reading this book. It's called The Heavenly Man. It's about Brother Yun in China. This dude is, he's known by many to be one of the fathers of the huge movement of Christ that's going on through China right now, of the house church movement. And they have to have a house church because you'll hear why in a second. So I wanted to read just a little part of this, of what he says. The church in our area started to grow in grace and in number as God radically saved many people and sent them out as soul winners. Soon, however, the opposition arose against us. Because so many people were believing in Christ, the authorities became aroused. Before us, there had never been a Christian in the entire village. My mother was identified as the leader of our church and was persecuted by the authorities. They placed a large dunce hat on her head and paraded her through the streets. She was forced to attend re-education classes to help her reform her incorrect views. After I took over as leader of our church, the pressure diverted off my mother and onto me. The authorities frequently came to question her about my whereabouts, but she usually just ignored them and pretended not to understand a word they said. After a while, they left her alone, thinking she had gone mad. So here he is in China, and he's leading villages to Christ at a time. His mother was found as a leader and paraded around wearing a dunce hat. You know, throughout the book, Brother Yun is beat, thrown into prison, always on the run. He can't stay in any one place long because the authorities will come and take him away. In America, we don't have that problem, do we? I mean, I think we have like a blessing-curse type thing going on. The blessing is that we can gather here this morning, we sing songs in Jesus' name, we're able to put signs in the street and everyone know that's what we're doing. And there's a beauty in that we can openly do this. The curse is that it costs us nothing to do that. You know, in China, to declare yourself as a Christian, to be baptized, and not just China, you can go to countries across the world. Cambodia is one of the worst. You know, if you're baptized, that just might cost you your life, literally. To announce your faith in Jesus Christ, just by doing it, makes you a wanted person and you can die for it. We don't have that in America at all. You know, the most it's going to cost us is when we go to work the next morning and we announce that someone might look at us silly. I remember I went to a family reunion soon after I came to Christ, and one of my family members said, "So are you born again?" I was like, "Well, yeah. Don't you need to be to go to heaven?" But so the worst you get is a little uncomfortable feeling. I think we're robbed in that. Because as we're going to look today, it costs us something to become a disciple of Christ. As a matter of fact, I remember a couple months ago, Kylie and I probably was reading this book, I don't remember for sure. It was bedtime, and we're just kind of reading and doing some devotional together, and we started talking about what it costs our family to be follower of Christ. What are we willing to give up? How far are we willing to go to announce that Jesus Christ is our Savior and to let the world know that he can be their Savior too? And so I kind of was sharing, you know, what if it came to this, that something happened in America that, or we were sent abroad, that to preach the gospel would be against the law? Would you be willing to give up your husband to raise the children on your own while I traveled the world escaping the authorities to preach the gospel? Would you be willing to do that? And vice versa, would I be willing to give up my family for the sake of the gospel? That which means most to me. I mean, anyone that knows me knows I adore my family. You know, to be able to sit here and worship with my daughter is words don't express. No words can express. It's always the challenge in this preaching thing is taking things that are in here and making them verbal. I can't even try to make that one. So we need to count some sort of cost. And if you all turn to page 893 in Luke 14, we're going to look at a parable where Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship. That while in America, our lives may not be put on the line, there's still some sort of cost that has to come with announcing him. And let's be honest, it's becoming a very emotional thing in America. You know, at someday you pray a prayer and you're saved, and you know what, you attend church every Sunday, and maybe you're part of a growth group, and woo, I'm saved. Let's be honest, those stuff, it doesn't cost us anything. Unfortunately, the statistical in America, the saved population or the church-going population has no difference in areas of things like divorce or adultery. Anything like that, no moral issue, are we any different than the rest of the population? So we see that it hasn't cost us a thing in America to become a follower of Christ. But is that right? That's the question this morning. Is it right? So Luke 14, we're going to start in verse 25. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father, your mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost." Let's stop for just a second. So here's Jesus. Crowds are following. He's in the middle of telling all these parables, and people are becoming intrigued, and they're starting to follow him. Jesus turns to them and actually stops them. Now, you'd think in looking at today's church model, we'd say, but don't you want the big crowds? Well, yeah, but not if they're not dedicated to the right thing, correct? So he basically stops the major crowd and tries to weed them out, if you will. So he's continuing. "For who would begin construction of building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's a person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become a disciple without giving up everything you own." Okay, big statement. You can't become my disciple without giving up everything you own. That's where we'll stop. You know, in our lives, sometimes we make decisions based out of emotion. The builder, if you ever really an entrepreneur spirit, sometimes you get this big idea in your head, and it doesn't just fill your head, it starts to go in your whole body, and like you can't focus on anything else. And you're so into it, you just move forward with building it. Building the house, this big grand idea, this big dream. And I don't know about you, but I've made the mistake in my life of doing that before, only to find out I didn't have what it took to finish it off. That I'm left with unfinished work. I've probably done that multiple times in my life, to the point that I know my wife will continue, whenever I come up with a big idea, Kylie will usually just wait to see if I actually follow it or not, and be like, oh, that's just another idea, until she actually sees me doing it, and then she's like, ooh, he was serious about this one. But the point is, do I stop and count the cost of what it's going to take to finish that dream? Because I don't know about you, but there's nothing more aggravating of having this big dream and working towards it only to see it not come to completion. So you just spent a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years of your life devoted to something, and it's gone. Because you didn't stop beforehand to think, to play it through in your head. Do I have everything it takes in here? Am I willing to pay the price? Can I pay the price to do this? You know, in the warrior, the same way. You have they get this parable of the warrior. And what I think of is, in a warrior spirit, if you have this vendetta or this deep hatred that consumes you, and before thinking about going after that other person and going after that other country, you're so torn in, you're so angry, you just launch out and do it. And out of that hatred, you're destroyed because you just didn't have what it takes. I know I've done that in my life too. Usually against individuals, someone that hurt me. I launch back out at them, only to find that, man, I was in the wrong the whole time. Destroyed. But here's the thing. Take a moment. Stop. Play it through. Play through in your head what it costs to finish that which you're about to begin. But man, we never ask you to do that in your faith, have we? So often it's a come to Christ, he'll save you, get to go to heaven. Jesus stopped the crowd and said, understand, if you're going to follow me, yes, it's going to cost you something. And here's GPS number one. I got two for the day. You get like a bonus. Number one, salvation is free. Discipleship costs you everything. Here's the deal with salvation. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. There's nothing you can do on your own to make it to heaven, to enter into the kingdom of God. Nothing. We've all fallen short. The Bible's so clear in that. And I think reality, we all know, we just don't have what it takes. You know, even my 7-year-old daughter, Mackenzie, accepted Christ a few months ago. We were supposed to baptize her a few weeks ago. We're going to reschedule that coming up here soon. But man, there was that moment she realized, Dad, I don't have what it takes. I've screwed up in my life. She's 7 years old, and she realized she screwed up in her life. Be it, and I don't know where they learn it. I mean, when we think about people that are, you know, born into sin and you're like, oh, no, they're not. They're perfect. I never taught my daughter to lie. But let me tell you, I remember the first time she came and blamed something on her sister that she did. But man, something sunk into her that she just didn't have what it takes to get to heaven. But Jesus pays the price for us. He does have what it takes. He's the only person ever to walk on this earth and never make a mistake, never sin. He was perfect. I know I'm far from perfect. He died. He took the punishment I deserve so I can go to heaven, so I can be with the Father forever, to reconcile the broken relationship that happened because of the sin in my life. And why does that happen? God is perfect. God is absolutely perfect. And that's a hard thing for us as humans to wrap our heads around because we know only an imperfect world. But when you start to know God, you realize how holy he is, which means set apart, above. And in my nastiness, I realize my nastiness can never live for eternity with his holiness. I needed Christ to die for me. I couldn't do it on my own. There's nothing that I have in me to bridge that gap between me and God. So it's free. It was offered as a gift. I can't earn it. I can't do it. But Jesus tells me here that to be a disciple of his, while the salvation is free, he offers it to us as a gift to reconcile us with his Father. That to follow in his ways, to follow the way of Jesus Christ, which we are called to do, it's going to cost us everything. You know, this isn't the first time in Scripture Jesus made a comment like this. You know, in Mark chapter 10, the rich man approached Jesus and asked, "Hey, what do I have to do? I've followed all the rules. I'm good to go on that." And Jesus said, "You have to sell everything you own. Then you can follow me." You know, earlier in Luke, there was a group that was ready to follow Jesus, but they said, "Hey, Jesus, hold on, I want to bury the dead first. We had some family members die. I want to go bury them, take care of that, and then I'm going to follow you." You know what Jesus told them? "Let the dead bury themselves. If you want to follow me, come follow me." Okay, I don't know about you, but that sounds crazy to me. But Jesus said some crazy things. Do you get that? "Let the dead bury. I am important enough. If I am that important in your life, forget about that. Come follow me." So Jesus is talking some serious talk. Isn't one time in the New Testament that Jesus says, "Hey, it's going to cost you everything." But he says it over and over. To follow me is going to cost you something. But again, I say, as Americans, we've made it very easy. So the question would be, what do we have to give up? How do we express as an American, since we're not persecuted per se, but maybe it's because we don't take a hard enough stance on who Jesus is that we're not persecuted, just something to throw out there. But what do we give up? How do we give up everything? Do we have to sell everything we own? Do we have to become some beatnik following Christ? I don't know. I think we see it in Acts chapter 2. Maybe it's a possibility that that's what we're supposed to do. But I'm not sure that's the only way. That might be a way, but I think a lot of us are sitting here saying, "Whoa, I'm not sure I can do that." Maybe question why you shouldn't, and you're going to get a good answer to what you need to give up, like the rich man. He wasn't willing to give it up. I don't think that he had to give it up. He had to be willing to give it up. So here's the big word I'm going to use for you at the moment. You have to give up your agenda. And I'm still, I don't know about you, but I'm working through what that looks like in today's context. I found a video that helped me work through that a little bit. If you want to hook me up, that'd be awesome. Are we ready or no? Sweet.
I have been born again more times than I can remember. More times than anyone ought to, anyhow. Altar calls, raise your hand if you want Jesus in your heart moments, first time commitment prayers, then recommitment prayers. I've been slain in the spirit, and I was even born again at a Billy Graham crusade. Nothing ever seemed to stick. I am born again lazy. I cannot let go. Or it seems that I'm only able to let go for a brief moment. Then as soon as I sit back down, I grab back onto this stuff. Onto these things I hold in my hands. Every time I was born again, I really did want Jesus badly. I've come to find that it is very difficult to grab onto something when your hands are already full. My full hands are starving Jesus. I call the stuff in my left hand dirty, the stuff in my right, pretty. Dirty is basically my impure life. the abuse, the girls, the sex, the lust, the porn, all of it. Pretty is my successful life as an actor. My pride, my passion, my drive, my ambition. These two little handfuls have defined who I am. And as hard as I'm holding on to them, they are holding on to me, not letting me go. But there is this voice, a voice that calls me to let go and get out of the pew, to go and do something. It's 4 a.m., and I can't remember the last time it was that I slept. I keep pacing my apartment. My heart beats out of my chest, and I can't calm myself down. This has been going on for weeks now. That voice, it's getting louder. Let go, it says. Let it all go. How, though? I'm not sure I can. If I let go of who I am, then who am I? Stop making sense, you weakest. Then it comes. Like a quiet cloud, it comes. Just quiet your mind. It doesn't tell me that everything is going to be okay. It doesn't quiet my heart. No instant peace, no tears, no soft music. In complete silence, it comes. Let go, the voice says. Let it all go. Follow me. His own time.
I don't know about everyone else. When I watch that video, I realize how much I hold on to. And I think the best line in that is, I can't grab onto something else while I'm still holding. You know, sometimes it's easy to recognize the dirty side, the crud in our life. And sure, I think we all have a habit of sweeping that dirt under the rug instead of dealing with it. But in reality, we all know it's there, that we haven't dealt with it. We haven't let go of it. It's still in our house. We've just kind of ignored it a little bit. I think we all know about that side, and it impacts us. And in seeing things like that and reading The Cost of Discipleship, I'm reminded that I need to clean house and deal with it and let it go. But it's the pretty side that I think I struggle with most. My own agenda, that is. My ambition. My drive. I have these things in my life that I want to see happen. And a lot of times I'm only willing to accept Christ into those areas as long as he has the same ambitions. If not, I lock him out of that side. It kind of hurts to say that out loud. I don't know if I've ever said it out loud or written that, but I know it to be true. And a lot of times in those circumstances, what I'll try to do is I'll try to reason my way into why Jesus should come along with me. So at bare minimum, so I can convince you that what I'm doing is a spiritual thing. In reality, I haven't let go of anything. Therefore, I never really get all of Jesus. And I wonder in my life, why aren't I experiencing this grandness of the Spirit that some other people are? Well, they may not be. It may be a show for them. But realistically, I know I'm not getting all of Jesus that he wants me to have. Do you realize he wants to inhabit all of you? I was doing my devotional yesterday, and in the devotional, commanded me to be joyful, to rejoice. He wants us to rejoice. How dare he want me to rejoice? What a mean God I serve that he wants me to be happy. Yet I hold on to these things in my life like I know better. I'm a parent, and my children sometimes want to play in the middle of the road. Nathan especially. Surprise, surprise. And he gets really ticked off at me when I tell him no. Why do I tell him no? Is it so I can steal his fun? No. Because I know that while he might have fun in the street for a little bit, that joy is going to quickly end when he's hit by a car. My God says the same thing about me. These rules that he puts in place for me, they're not really like rules. That he's not a killjoy. He gives me guidelines to live a fuller life. And as I live that full life, I need the rules less and less. You know, the girls, I don't need the rule of don't play in the street, don't do that. They know now. You know, they know everything. The rule isn't for them as much anymore. They've grown past that. And Scripture tells us the same is true in our own life of faith. The laws that are laid down, as we grow in faith, the laws aren't as much for us. We're living by faith and love. But here's the gig with those two handfuls of stuff, the dirty and the pretty, be it the stuff that we have those temporary joys in. Let's admit, man, the stuff, the dirty, it's fun for a period, isn't it? There's a reason we have those things in my life. You know, there's, because they fill that moment. And sure, tomorrow they leave us empty, but they're there for a moment. Do you realize Jesus wants you to let go so he can give you something in that hand that will fulfill you tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that? You know, I drank heavily for years. Heavily. Why? Because it made life tolerable. Just putting it out there. You know, to go party for a night gave me something to do for the night. It really didn't serve a purpose other than giving me one reason to live another day. And the alcohol numbed the pain that I tried to ignore. I'll tell you with a full heart, I don't need it. Do I still fall into it sometimes? Sure. But I don't need it. Jesus gives me something now that I can live for. I have a purpose in my life, something greater. That I don't need this temporary thrill. Everything I got from that, Jesus gives me 1,000 times more through his Spirit. It's actually told to us in Scripture, get drunk on my Holy Spirit instead of wine. And if you think why that's goofy, you know, I remember when I used to drink, I used to do all sorts of crazy things, and I had no inhibitions. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you I have no inhibitions. None. The same joy, but is everlasting. I don't wake up with a hangover. I don't wake up more depressed than the day before, but more fulfilled. So it's about our agenda. Here's the GPS number two. At some point in a life, you have to come to a point that Jesus is worth more than the things you are holding on to. Let that sink in. At some point in your life, you have to come to a point where Jesus is worth more than the things you are holding on to, if you are truly to be a disciple of Christ. Is the things he has to offer you, is just him, because that's the greatest thing he has to offer us, just him. Is it greater than all this junk we hold on to? The dirty side or the pretty? Is Jesus greater? Is knowing him and being with him greater than your own ambition for a great career? Oh, there's nothing wrong with wanting to excel in your career. Nothing at all. As long as it's trumped with the love of Jesus Christ. If he called you to, would you leave it? I was faced with that one day. I was cooking. I was a chef at the top of my career. I was doing very well for myself. I was starting to get my name in the paper. One of my best customers was the Cleveland Plain Dealer food editor. And he was talking about, you know, having me do some fundraisers and stuff with Michael Simon. I mean, it was going well. Made some choices that benefited my family more than my career, step number one, small step number one. But then I came to Christ. And I ended up doing youth ministry. It's weird, it's a long story how that came about. But if you know anything about youth ministry and the restaurant business, both require nights and weekends, don't they? One had to go. Guess which one went? My career. I manage Cleveland Clinic in Independence now. Not food, not anything, just people, which is awesome, actually. I've learned a lot about myself in doing that, but I had to give up my career to follow Jesus. Now I'm starting to learn that he never really wanted me to give all of it up. He wanted to know that I would, but he gave me these talents for a reason, and now I see him in the process of giving it back to me, saying, okay, now you can use it for my glory. Now you can do the right things with it because it doesn't belong to you anymore. You used to hold on to it and you were doing things that had no eternal significance with it when you held on to it. Now you've given it to me and I give it back to you because I know you're going to do things with eternal consequence with it. It's about agenda. This thing of counting the costs is counting what you're willing to give up for the namesake of Jesus Christ. In China, it's an easy thing to make. You know, I kind of wish I lived in that scenario where it was that black and white. Where to say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ means I immediately put my life on the line. It would almost be easier, wouldn't it? It's to me like the difference between making a decision to buy a car or a loaf of bread. To make the car, I got to think about it a little bit. And once you make the decision, you're all in. You bought the car. The loaf of bread doesn't cost much, but I buy it today, and then I buy it tomorrow, and the next day, and it nickel and dimes me until I've spent just the same amount, but every little day, it costs me more. And I think that's the difference is being Americans, is we make small decisions of how we are going to count the cost. You know, during the evening, I have the choice to make, and in the morning, well, let's start with the morning. I have the choice, do I want to set my alarm early and get up and do a devotional and pray the way I knew I should? Or am I going to say, no, I need my sleep, and I'm going to hit snooze? It doesn't have quite the same significance of saying I'm going to be baptized and I might be killed, but day after day, it shows where my agenda lies. I have the choice in the evening of, am I going to pick up a spiritual book that will fulfill me? Or am I going to do a devotional with my family? Or am I going to jump on Facebook and just mess around for 2 hours? We have little choices to make. And I think because we make the big one of we're coming to Sunday church, we're going to growth group, we've made the big decisions, we're good to go. I'm going to tell you, I don't think that's where we're found if we're really disciples or not. It's in the small decisions. It's in the loaf of bread. So the cost is your agenda. And before you become a follower of Christ, or if you're a follower of Christ, stop today and count the cost. Are you willing to pay it? Have you paid it? Let me be honest with you. As I prepared for this message, I found, man, there are too many things I hold on to. There were many too many moments in my day I hold on to. Jesus was about changing lives radically. Still about that. But how can he radically transform me if I hold on to things and keep control myself? I have a heart for Cleveland. I love Cleveland. I walk into the city. Actually, I love where I live in Parma, and I love there's parts of Parma where I get to just see the skyline of Cleveland. And in my building in Independence, I get to look out the window sometimes and see the skyline, and I love those moments. I get to just stop and pray and see that God's doing something. There's something about looking at the city from a distance where you see that man, we're not where we need to be, man. There's some darkness, there's some hopelessness, but man, I see like the hand of God descending upon the city being like, I'm about to change it. But guess what? He can't change it if we all continue to hold on to things. If you've only given up 20% to Jesus Christ, that's only 20% of you that he can use to impact the city. What would it look like? What would Gateway look like if we all let go of everything? I would wager to say that some that probably would leave their careers. There's some that would learn how to use their career for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Either way, we would be a community of people that were powerful for the city if we just learned to let go. And that reason is why Jesus stopped the crowd. He was about to leave earth. He couldn't have a bunch of people following that were living by their own agenda. We wouldn't be here today if they had. He needed people that were willing to give it all up for him. So that today, years later, generations later, we're able to know of his sacrifice, of what he did out of his love for us, because he had people that were devoted to him. So I don't know where you are in faith. I don't know if you've accepted Christ before, and if you did, man, I say now's the good time to stop and say, what else am I holding on to, be it dirty or pretty? What parts of your agenda do you hold on to your own, unwilling to trust Christ with? If you haven't yet accepted Christ, I'm going to tell you it's not an instant fix. There's some things in my life that were instant. I remember my language from one day to the next, instant fix. The F-bomb, I mean, all over the place. Literally the day before I accepted Christ, and Shannon should be nodding because it was miserable. I mean, I had the worst mouth in the world. Literally from one day to the next, my language had changed. It was weird. But I'm going to say that's odd. Most of it is a journey. It's not all fun and games. There's a cost involved too. But I'm going to tell you what you gain is a purpose beyond belief, a relationship with your Creator. I'm not sure there is any good way to verbalize how awesome that is. A relationship with your Creator, with the God of heaven and earth. You become one of his, you gain an inheritance from him. You become part of his family. Nothing can beat that. You are in the family with the Creator in the universe. Do you get that? That's what you gain. You gain these things that those things you are holding on to seem so insignificant. It's like asking me to let go of a Yugo so I can drive a Ferrari. And you're like, why was I holding on? That's what like this crap we hold on to, that's what it's like. We hold on to this cruddy stuff when Christ wants to offer us so much more. Why do we hold on? So if you haven't accepted Christ yet, no, yeah, there's a cost involved, but the prize is immeasurable. And maybe this is the morning. So let's stop, let's pray. Let's pray that God does that for us. If everyone wants to close their eyes, bow their heads, kneel, lay, whatever. I'm not a formal guy. Father God, I come before you and I confess, Lord, as I end each day and I lay down in my bed, there's more that I got wrong than I got right. There's more I held on to than I let go of. Lord, there's too much of my day I've been through where I haven't even looked to you for guidance or for your presence. I depend way too much on myself. And Lord, I praise you that you paid the price for me. Lord, that you made a way to make my mess right. You took the punishment I deserved. You take my nastiness and you make it pure and holy. You take off the nasty coat I wear and put on a clean, perfect one that I don't deserve. But Lord, let me look at each day and let me challenge myself, Lord, am I willing to let go? Am I willing to take my career and put it on the line? Am I willing to take my family and say that knowing you and working for you is even greater than the love I have for my family? Am I willing to lay aside my own ambitions in life and make my greatest ambition just being with you? Lord, I truly wish that I was going to pray, Lord, that you test me the way that some Chinese nationals are tested with the level of their faith. But Lord, you show me that you do it every day. You give me choices every day to test my own agenda and if it's in line with yours. Lord, and I pray that tomorrow I make more right choices than I do wrong. Grow me. Join me in the journey. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be doing communion this morning, and I think it's a perfect time. I think the message that God, I had totally forgotten we were doing this today until just recently. You know, the message was chosen well before that, but I think we look at the cost that was paid. You know, we talk about our cost of discipleship. Look at the price that Jesus paid to reconcile us with the Father. I mean, we again, the creator of the universe was beaten and died on a cross to reconcile us, to make it right. And that's what we do this morning is, you know, he sat with his disciples and said, do this in remembrance of me, of the things I did. And that's what we do this morning. We do it in remembrance of the cost he paid, the example he set. And the crazy thing is he doesn't ask for us to die on a cross. He does tell us, hey, be willing to pick up and carry your cross. Carry your burden. The cross was his. He's given me my burden. I believe it to be Cleveland and the surrounding areas. And there's a price that's going to be paid, but this was the price he paid so that I can even think of doing this. So if you're a believer in Christ, you're welcome to come up and join this morning. So we ask you that you be a believer in Jesus Christ, that you've accepted that sacrifice he made. But before you come up this morning, I ask that you sit for just a moment and count that cost. You're going to come up and join us in remembering the price he paid, but let's count our own cost. We're never going to be really worthy to drink of this wine and eat of this bread. Not on this side of heaven. But have we given up enough? No, there's never enough. Do we have it in our hearts to continue to grow towards that? Let's put it that way. Are we moving in that direction? Let's pray about that. See what God seeks in you. Come up as you will.